Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming, staying for my talk as well. I'll be talking to you today about reading in a second language, and this is work I've been doing together with Professor Jantje Szimpli at the Department of Theoretical and Applied Linguistics. Now, reading is actually a very complex skill, especially reading for comprehension, because it requires processing, well, not only processing, but also storage, integration, of phonological and semantic and syntactic information. And because of this, not only reading in first language is difficult, but reading in second language can be even more challenging, especially when a text is highly complex, or for example, there are ambiguities in the text. And I just have at the bottom of the slide here, a sentence in German for those of you who are second language or other language speakers of German. There's quite a lot to disentangle in such a sentence. And then if you have to integrate it into the context as well, you can imagine that might be quite difficult. So I will be focusing on the reading of ambiguities. So the reading of ambiguous sentences, such as the one at the top here. The man saw the woman with the binoculars. And if I were then to ask you who had the binoculars, you probably have a preference. But syntactically, this sentence is ambiguous. The man could have the binoculars, which we call high attachment, or the woman could have the binoculars, which we call low attachment. So in this case, you would your interpretation would be more of an attachment preference than the actual, than the fact that there's only one reading. So there are really two options here. Nevertheless, native speakers of English, but also, for example, of Spanish, have a general preference for high attachment. So the man would have the binoculars. But we know from previous literature that attachments are flexible and possible influences are, for example, world knowledge, so the plausibility of each interpretation and the surrounding discourse context. An example of world knowledge is, for example, if I change the sentence at the top to the man saw the woman with the bicycle, then you will probably have a preference for the woman having the bicycle because you can't see with the bicycle, whereas you could see with binoculars. So here your knowledge, your semantic knowledge and your world knowledge helps you to disambiguate this sentence. Now here I present an example of a context influencing your interpretation. So if we have the sentence here in the middle, the burglar blew open the safe with the dynamite, that would be high attachment and it should be preferred if it was just a single sentence. But if I now present this with the context saying, the burglar broke into the bank and saw a safe with a new lock and the safe with an old lock. The burglar blew open the safe with the dynamite or the burglar blew open the safe with a new lock. Then actually what people prefer and what people read faster in this particular study is the burglar blew open the safe with the new lock because there were two safes introduced and one with a new lock. So actually here, the context causes low attachment to be preferred. So we know this, we know that different influences on attachment preferences can be found, but what we don't know is what their hierarchy is or what their interplay is, how they come together. So this is one of the things that we've been investigating. Now returning to second language learners and to reading in a second language, I already told you that it's particularly challenging. Among other things, because integration of different sources of information might be tricky and might be cognitively effortful, such as taxing on your working memory. Potentially for these reasons, it has been argued that second language speakers rely more on lexical and semantic information, so for example, world knowledge information, than on syntactic cues. And they use good enough representation, so kind of a shallow processing approach of the syntax. And this last study by Pan and Felser showed something similar in English-Chinese speakers, showing that they are highly sensitive to discourse-level information, at least during processing. So they take world knowledge and discourse-level information into account a lot, and maybe they focus less on syntactic cues, typically. So what do we want to do in our research? We want to examine the strength of factors influencing PP attachment preferences, in L1 and L2 speakers. And what is important to realize here is that it's not a question of right or wrong or a question of grammar, right? Even a fluent English speaker might have different preferences because it's a matter of inferencing and how you arrive at a meaning. Because again, both of these attachments, the man having binoculars and the woman having binoculars, they're grammatically possible. So I'm going to present a series of experiments, and I just show you an overview here because this emphasizes the difference between these experiments. So they're all on PP attachment, but experiment 1A looks at native English speakers and presents sentences without context. Experiment 1B looks at native English speakers again, but presents sentences embedded in a context. And experiment 2 then looks at L1 and L2 speakers. So let me move right on. What were our research questions? Well, for experiment 1A and 1B, we just wanted to confirm the default attachment preferences for ambiguous PPs. And we want to know whether world knowledge guides these preferences in native speakers. Then in experiment 1B, we asked, which cue is actually stronger, world knowledge or text explicit information? And is there an interplay between these sources of information? So again, is there some kind of hierarchy to be found? So how did we do this? We presented written sentences and written questions in which world knowledge either supports high attachment or low attachment. So you might think that a fisherman more typically holds a fishing net than a hairdresser. Well, that's your world knowledge kicking in. So here, world knowledge would support the fisherman having the fishing net. But we can also flip these two characters and say the hairdresser caught the fisherman with the fishing net. And then your world knowledge still supports the fisherman having the fishing net, which in this case would be low attachment. In experiment 1B, we did exactly the same thing, but now we presented a context. And our context guided the attachment to the character that is not supported by the world knowledge. So it emphasized that the hairdresser likes to fish and that the hairdresser went fishing. That is basically what our context did. And we then want to see whether that influences your attachment preferences. Both experiments were web-based with the same participants. We tested native English speakers from the UK who grew up monolingually. And this is basically what we found. So these are on the left, the results for experiment 1A, so that is without context, where we just manipulated world knowledge and we just wanted to see whether that would be working and whether indeed high attachment would be generally preferred. And what we find is yes, both of these things are true. So all the way on the left in the light blue, you can see the attachment preference responses, so in percentages, so this is about 90%, so 90% of the time when world knowledge supported high attachment was high attachment chosen. However, also about 75% of the time when world knowledge supported low attachment was high attachment chosen. Now, this difference was significant, so there is a significant effect of world knowledge, but it's also important to note that actually people overall, or native English speakers overall, still preferred high attachment over low attachment, even though world knowledge told them something else. So their grammatical or their parsing preference for high attachment, their default parsing preference is quite strong. Now on the right here, we see a graph presenting the results for experiment 1B. And as you can see, the order of the bars is actually flipped. So the light blue bar is now lower than the dark blue bar on the right. And what can we see here? Well, as I said, they were contrasting cues. So in this experiment, if world knowledge supported high attachment, then the context supported low attachment. So what we can see, because we were contrasting cues, because the bar on the left is lower than the bar on the right, that means they went for the low context. So the context biasing low attachment and the context biasing high attachment, that was the factor that they were influenced with most here. So what we can tell from that is that contextual information is a more important cue than world knowledge for native English speakers. So that's indeed what we can conclude from this. From experiment 1A, I will just answer the research questions. We indeed found a high attachment preference as we expected. And world knowledge guides these preferences in native speakers, but only to an extent, because again, high attachment was preferred globally, overall, in all the conditions that we presented so far. Now, the conclusions of experiment 1B, as I indicated, text-exclusive information is actually stronger influence than world knowledge. And is there an interplay between these sources of information? Well, there seems to be a hierarchy, but not really an interplay. One just completely seems to override the other. And we will investigate this further in the next experiment. So our experiment one showed that contextual information, again, outweighs world knowledge for native speakers. But we wanted to know, is the same true for second language speakers that are reading English? So do they show the same attachment preferences, and are they influenced by the same factors? Or, based on the literature, would we expect that L2 speakers rely more strongly on their world knowledge or on their contextual information? Because again, these types of semantic and pragmatic information, they typically rely on that more than on syntactic preferences. A last question that we asked is, are L2 speakers affected by contextual complexity when making inferences? So one additional thing that we manipulated was now how complex the context is from a syntactic point of view, to see whether participants can still extract the required information from that. So this was again a web-based experiment. We used exactly the same stories as experiment 1B, so I won't go over them again in detail. But this time we use a full manipulation of world knowledge bias and context. So they weren't just contrasting cues, but they were also reinforcing cues sometimes, because we wanted to know, how far can we push also native speakers actually to go for low attachment as an interpretation of the sentence? Because again, in experiment 1A and B, we saw a lot of high attachment interpretations. In addition, we manipulated the structural complexity of the context, and I will demonstrate that based on the example here. So we could have, after the fisherman came back from work, the hairdresser went fishing, or we could have, before the fisherman came back from work, the hairdresser went fishing. And by changing that temporal order of events and not having it in line with the linear order of the sentence, that sentence should become more complex to process. We tested 38 native Spanish speakers from several Spanish-speaking countries, and they all had a very high level of English. And English, they all had all learned English at a later age, so they were really second language learners, and that's why I'm not calling them bi or monolinguals here, just to make that distinction. But they had very high levels of English. We also tested 34 native English speakers from the UK as like a baseline group. And what's important to emphasize here is that both English and Spanish, in English and Spanish, there should be high attachment preferences of ambiguous PPs. So we don't expect like a transfer of parsing strategy, because we're really interested in the contextual influence. So again, I'm going right on to the results, and this graph is a little more complicated, so I'll go through it step by step. But what we can see here is that in the, let's say, the light orange color are the native controls, and in the darker orange contact are the second language, so the Spanish speakers of English. And I think what we can see immediately, almost globally, just by looking at the graph, is that there are no major differences between these groups, right? In all the conditions, they are quite close together. And this is indeed confirmed by linear mixed effects models, is that there's no main effect of groups. So at a group level, the two groups perform very similarly. However, what we do see, and we can see that here on the bottom again, is that there are influences of world knowledge and context. And the strongest influence is, again, of context. So these two first categories on the left are when the context supported high attachment, and we can see that predominantly there are high attachment interpretations given, about I think about 80 to 90% on average for both groups. And when the context supports low attachment, the interpretations are again around 75% high attachment, so significantly lower. So there is a significant effect of context bias. There's also a statistically significant effect of world knowledge. So they do both influence responses, but more strongly so does context. Now, as I said, there was no main effect of group. There was also no main effect of structural complexity of the context, but there was an interaction between those two. And I'll show that on the next slide. So there was an effect of structural complexity of the context, but only for second language speakers. So the native controls were not affected in our research by the structural complexity of the context, but the second language speakers were. And you can see that here in the graph. So when the structural complexity of the context was high, second language speakers chose more low attachment responses. Whereas when the structural complexity was low, they predominantly went for high attachment responses. Now, this difference is not huge, but it is statistically significant, and it does tell us something about the processing of second language speakers reading in English as a second language. And I will come back to that in a second. So what can we conclude from experiment two? And again, I put the research questions up. Do second language speakers in English show the same attachment preferences as L1 speakers? Yes, actually, they are remarkably similar, and I was quite impressed with that, actually. So these were very good readers of English. Do second language speakers rely more strongly on their world knowledge or contextual information? No, not in our study, at least. So we do find that they rely on world knowledge and contextual information, but not more strongly than L1 speakers, because in that respect, we found no difference between the groups. And actually, just like L1 speakers, L2 speakers do tend to be very influenced by their default parsing strategy. So they don't show a lot of low attachment interpretations. Now, the final question is, are L2 speakers affected by contextual complexity? Yes, they are, only to a certain extent, but we do find a significant effect. So what can we conclude overall? So experiment 1A and 1B were more or less control experiments and replicated the general high attachment preference as reported in the literature. It's always important to establish that for your stimuli that you use and have developed. We also replicated the influences of world knowledge and discourse contexts that have been reported in the literature, but only separately and never together. So in addition to what has been reported in the literature before, we can now say that the discourse context outweighs world knowledge when these are contrasting cues. And based on that, we propose a novel hierarchy, which we have called the attachment preference hierarchy, in which parsing strategy is clearly the strongest influence, because people still, L1 and L2 speakers alike, very strongly preferred high attachment. So this default parsing strategy seems to be a very strong influence. Then text explicit information, which outweighs world knowledge, which then outweighs structural complexity. And this is something we aim to investigate further in the future. So what we have seen is that PP attachments are quite flexible, because quite large variation was found in both L1 speakers and L2 speakers, and that nearly all L2 speakers responded within the range of attachment preferences of native speakers. So what is compared very often is like a group comparison, a statistic group comparison, which in our case was not significantly different, but in some other studies it has been. But what we're arguing is, okay, but also look at individual differences, because actually, if you look at the ranges of responses, they are very similar in both groups of speakers. But even though there was large variation, contextual information is sometimes, and actually quite frequently, still ignored or overridden by a default parsing strategy. So it seems that this default parsing strategy of high attachment, which there is both in Spanish and in English, is quite difficult to inhibit. And I will talk a little bit more about this in a second, because the word inhibition, of course, also calls on cognitive abilities and working memory, etc. But what I want to conclude first is that structural complexity did affect L2 speakers, but rather than going for then relying more on their world knowledge or on the contextual information as we expected, they go for the most recent attachment site, which might be explained in terms of processing, because just attaching it to the most recent information is actually cognitively argued to be cognitively easier. And here we have that cognitive component again. So just to round off, I just wanted to discuss how this ties into other disciplines, because we're so interdisciplinary, and what future directions could be, because I do see a lot of links. For example, with education and language learning, it would be very interesting to examine second language reading in children and in an educational setting, because this type of inferencing isn't typically being taught, because again, there was no right or wrong in our sentences. Of course, it also ties into more theoretical linguistics. We need to further explore and also specify the proposed hierarchy and see if it applies to different constructions, for example, relative clause attachment. And finally, I see a lot of ties with psychology and neuroscience, because we would like to further examine these effects and also the proposed hierarchy in relation to cognitive effects, such as inhibition and working memory, and also neural processing. Thank you very much for your attention.